Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Karen Conti Show on 720 WGN.
Hello, everyone. It's Karen Conti here in studio at the beautiful WGN studios overlooking the Chicago River. What a gorgeous day and a gorgeous night. Hey, Jerry and I just got back from a little quick weekend trip. We've been doing little weekend trips this summer, and this one was a fun one. We went to Washington, D.C., and I guess I just want to ask you, like, we just literally got back and we've kind of unpacked and came over here. What did you think? What was your impression?
You know, I've been there about 30 years ago, and it was okay. I was blown away. I thought it was going to be a bunch of statues and monuments and not much happening. It was very hip. It was very tree-lined, clean, very diversified, felt extremely safe. The only problem I have with Washington is there are too many politicians there.
Well, we didn't see much of them. I think they were gone. But no, I agree with you. And I had been to Washington several times, and I had actually taught at American University, which is just outside of Georgetown, for a summer. So I have spent a lot of time and went to a lot of the monuments and the Holocaust museums and the Smithsonian museums. And I certainly didn't see everything. It's impossible to see everything. But the city has cleaned up. The city just seemed more vibrant than I've ever seen it. And it was a cool place. I mean, I could see living there, you know, but for the fact that it would be hard to commute into Chicago every weekend to do my show.
That's true. And what I really liked is we went to the new African-American History Museum. First of all, the building was absolutely spectacular. I think it's four or five floors of displays. Fabulously done. I can only take so much, because when I walked out of that building, I was embarrassed to be a human being when you see how inhumane human beings can be to one another.
It's a place everyone has to go. It's a place that, especially if you're African-American and especially if you have children, you need to go. It should be some sort of mandatory trip, if possible, because you're right. It starts at the bottom of the exhibits, and you go in the basement, and it's the horrible history of slavery dating way back before the United States was even, you know, even a thought. And the idea that people did this to each other and then it brought it here, and how it survived here. And they had the manacles and they had the lynchings, and they had Emmett Till's casket, who is the young boy who was basically lynched. And, you know, it's sad. It's just so sad. But interestingly, when you wind your way up throughout the museum, you see then some of the African-American culture and all of the great black entertainers and all of the great athletes and all of the great people who have achieved things. And so by the time you get to the top, it's uplifting, because you see the good and you see the big mural of Barack Obama's inauguration.
Yes.
We're not there yet, but and it gives you hope, I think. I think I felt that way going from the bottom to the top.
Absolutely.
That there is hope for some sort of equality, but it always gives you the idea that this could happen again, right? I mean, and that's why history, again, it sounds trite to say this, but when you see the history in Washington and you go to any of the museums and you see even the Holocaust Museum, and we have one here in Illinois, you see that it could happen again. It really could. It makes you believe that, but it really forces you to be very cognizant of the idea that we have to do everything we can to stop it from happening.
I was completely surprised to hear that England outlawed slavery 33 years before Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yes.
I thought we were more civilized than England, but apparently we weren't. And it's uplifting and it's horrifying at the same time. And I'm glad to see that things are finally changing for the best. We've missed so much talent and creativity and brain power by attempting to hold down people of color, or people who are other than we are.
The otherness.
The otherness.
I think, you know,
it.
And I think we have people in our country who do that all the time to try to put a barrier and to say, this person wasn't born here. This person looks different. This person is a danger. This person commits crimes. Whether the facts are there or not, I just think it's a creation of this divide, because I think the unknown is fearful to most people, right? If you don't look like me, I'm afraid of you. If you don't act like me, if your religion isn't the same as mine, I'm afraid of you. And that creation of fear becomes anger, and it becomes violence. And I think history has borne that out. But again, thank you for letting me talk about that. I say it's a great place to go. It's a free museum, but you do have to get tickets, because they only let in a certain number of people during certain times, because it can get very, very, very crowded. Tonight, we have a great show. Today is National Psychics Day, August 4th. It's the first Sunday in August. And we have with us Susan Rowland, who is a psychic medium. She's been all over Chicago news and national news. She's helped find missing persons. And she gives counsel to people in all walks of life on their professional and in their personal lives. And what we're going to do is talk a little bit about her gifts and what it means. Now, listen, if you believe in this, you may believe in this, and you may not believe in this, but Susan is a very sensitive person, a very wise person, and I do believe she has gifts, and we're going to be taking your calls. We are getting texters saying that they would like to talk to Susan, and we're going to have people start calling in. I'm going to ask you to call in our number, 981-7200. You'll talk to Ben, my producer, and what we want from you, if you want to talk to Susan, is the birth date, your birth date. You don't need to give us the year, just the month and the day, and then you're going to have a very quick question, not a long drawn out question about your situation. We want to just hear what it is you want to know, what it pertains to, and what it is you'd like Susan to talk to you about. And I think it's going to be a very, very interesting conversation.
Go to the fortune teller, hang my fortune ring.
Welcome back. Today is National Psychic Day, and we are always fascinated by a person's ability to see what others can't see. What can a psychic do, and what can a psychic not do? Where do those gifts come from? With me tonight is Susan Rowland, a psychic medium. She sees and hears and feels past, present, and future events. With her gifts, she uses them to help clients professionally and personally and find missing persons. Susan, welcome.
Thank you.
It's so nice to see you.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to be here. I know you've been on Brian Noonan's show, and you're not a stranger to WGN. You helped find some hauntings in the old WGN studios, I understand.
We did. We did this, I don't know, a few years ago, I think, with Hannah Stanley on her show, and she had Chicago Paranormal Investigators and myself, and we went up and down the halls, and we saw lots of things. So it was really interesting. It was a good feel, because so many people, they feel so many things in an old building, as WGN. So.
The more things that happen in a building, I would imagine the more possibilities there are that there would be some lingering energies.
You're right.
Yeah,
so. It always usually is.
So you know what? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what you do, but I'm going to get right to some callers right now, and we can intersperse our talk with what the callers. I'm going to say, if you want to talk to Susan, and we're going to ask for her guidance, just give us your birthday, not the year, just the day and the month, and give a very quick question, like guidance in what area, on what specific area here. Eileen, let's go to you. Hi, Eileen. Welcome to the Karen Conti Show. What is your question for Susan, and what is your birth date?
My birthday is February 7th. Will I be moving soon?
Hi, Eileen. Nice to talk to you. The move has been back and forth with you. That's what I'm getting. Part of you has wanted to move, but you've had obstacles stopping you. But you will. Okay? So the move will actually come. And I actually see within 3 months that move is going to start transpiring into something permanent for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Eileen.
So
thank you. So let's talk a little bit about this. When did you first realize you had a gift, Susan?
When I was 6 years old.
Okay, and what made you realize you had a gift?
You know, for those that follow me know this story because I often say it, but my grandfather had passed away when I was six. And we weren't allowed to go to the wake or the funeral. My mother thought my two brothers at the time and myself were way too young. And so we were the only grandchildren that didn't get to go. And I remember after it was all over with, it was a couple of days after the funeral, I see my mother on top of a chair in front of a cabinet, and she's looking at something. And I said, "Mom, what are you looking at?" And she goes, "They're not for your eyes to see." And I thought that was odd. So I waited till she came down. And of course, when she went to the other room, what does a six-year-old do? She's going to go up and climb that cabinet. And I remember climbing on that cabinet, and I remember looking in an envelope, and there were pictures of my grandfather in the casket. And back then, they used to do that. And he looked very peaceful. You know, he really did. There were flowers around him. He was in a beautiful blue suit. And he looked like he was sleeping. And all I kept thinking was, well, how could he be there when he's standing here next to me? So that was pivotal, because that was the first time that I saw between a passing and the afterlife. Before that, I didn't know the difference.
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure it took a few years for people to believe that what you were seeing.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I would say a lot of things to my mother. And my mother, she knew. And then she used to tell me, be careful what you say, because a lot of people aren't going to understand it.
And a lot of people don't understand it. 981-7200. Let's take some callers. Let's go to Bronwyn in Des Plaines. Hi, welcome to the Karen Conti Show. What's your question for Susan? What's your birth date?
Hi, October 19th, and I need to know what to get over to get unstuck in my life.
Okay, love the question. You know, here's the thing that I see with you. You have a ton of anxiety. You do.
Yes.
I know. And you know what? I feel for people that have anxiety. I am one of those people, okay? But I've had to manage it through the years. You have to start understanding. We all have fears, and our mind keeps overthinking, but you are in charge in stopping that fear. So I always say our minds, we can edit. Just like, you know, when you see TV shows and filming, everything is edited. Think about when you're going down that dark road and switch it, flip it. Counter it with a good thought. Counter it with what you do have going on. But you have the anxiety problem, and this is why you're stuck. You're also absorbing other people's energy. And I say this all the time. For those of you that don't know, sage and smudge. Really, you should be doing this at least once a week. Sage the inside of your car as well as your home, and I guarantee it will calm your anxiety and more of the good things. You're clearing out all that bad. You are an empath, and you are absorbing so much, and this is why you feel stuck.
I'm so overwhelmed.
Thank you. Thank you, Bronwyn. I'm going to have to go to the next caller, but I hope that helped out.
Okay.
You're listening to Karen Conti Show. We're talking to Susan Rowland, who's a psychic medium, and we're taking your calls, 981-7200. This is Denise in Rockford. Hi, Denise. Oop. Hi, Denise. Uh-oh. Denise, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Denise. Hi.
Hi.
What is your birth date, and what is your question for Susan?
1 January 9th.
Okay.
And am I ever going to have anyone in my life I can trust?
You know what, Denise? The first thing you have to do is actually trust. And here's the problem. What has been going on in the past, you're still sticking on to that fear that it's going to happen again. And
yes,
you are.
Very much so.
I know, because I know that somebody was very terrible to you, and automatically you're going for that, like, he's going to do it to me again. Or even if you meet a nice guy, and maybe he's a great guy, but he kind of did something not so great, but you could work with it, you still go right away that he's going to be just like the other guy. You need to start looking at these men and judge them individually. But this is the problem, because I know that this guy, I really can see it. He did a world to you, and it wasn't in a good way. But I am telling you, you have to start judging people individually. Otherwise, you're going to stay alone.
Thank you for the call, and I'm sorry we have to cut you. I hope that helped a lot.
Thank you.
All right, Denise, take care. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to be taking more calls. Susan Rowland is here, and we're talking to a psychic medium, and we're going to ask you to call in 981-7200 and give your birth date and a very brief question as to where you'd like guidance in your life. We'll take a break now, and we'll come back in a little bit.
You could read my mind, love. What a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie.
Welcome back. We're here with Susan Rowland, who is a psychic medium on National Psychics Day. Susan, people can contact you and do readings. They can do group readings. Professional people can contact you. Where would be your contact information?
My website, it's susanrowland.com. So it's SusanRowland.com.
And you have a lot of people who consult with you. Obviously, it's private.
Yes, it has to be.
It has to be private. But people in all walks of life, people who are politicians and people who run companies and all kinds of people.
A lot of people would be quite surprised. And then you get other people that say, well, you know, sometimes that makes a person successful of knowing their strengths and trying to understand their weaknesses. And so for a person to come forward and say, hey, how can I be better? What is it that you see that I'm not seeing? And, you know, I give people a lot of credit with that. I really do. I always tell people, drop the egos. We have no room for them. Just be you. Talk about truth and finding your truth and kind of seeing the things that maybe you need help with. And if somebody that has a great track record and you connect with, and that's why I always tell people, find a good psychic medium you connect with. Don't be a psychic junkie. I have people in the past, they will keep going from psychic to psychic until they hear what they want to hear. And I tell people.
People do that with lawyers, too.
Yes, exactly.
They do that with lawyers.
And sometimes it's not about what they want to hear. It's what they need to hear.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
No shopping around.
No.
And so I'm going to be taking everyone's calls, 981-7200. But very quickly, I wanted to, you know, we had this horrendous week where we have all these people who have died. I think there were 3 killed and almost 40 wounded in Chicago this weekend alone. Just this morning, 7 people were shot in Lawndale, mm-hmm. El Paso, 20 dead, 24 wounded, Dayton, 9 dead, 26 wounded. What a horrendous couple of days. Do you see an end to this? Do you see a resolution to this? And if so, or if not, what are we going to see in the future when it comes to these kinds of gun violence?
Unfortunately, I don't see an end. I just see that this is really the beginning. I do. I do my predictions every year, and I put it out at the end of December. And for this year, I had said a lot of things, and you can go on my YouTube because I have a big YouTube channel as well. So tune into that, and that gives you a lot of information. But a couple of things I touched upon. It was about the shootings, the mass shootings, and they will continue. Unfortunately, and I'm saddened to say that, but you know, I tell people, please be aware. People are now. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't go to these places. You need to be a human being and live, but think with caution. There are people that are still going to be coming into these large places, you know, shopping malls. I was just telling my dear friend, I just don't even want to go into a mall. I really don't, and it shouldn't be that way. But it's going to get a lot worse. I do believe that because I think the mental illness is at an all-time high. And just like I even predicted with California with the earthquakes, I said that they're going to get them. And the people that follow me, they were even emailing me questions. Where do you see it? I believe that it's going to happen, but do you really think it's going to happen this year? I'm like, yeah. And it's just going to be the start of many. It's not just going to be one earthquake. And, well, there you had it. Their largest one was 7.2 on the Richter scale. So, unfortunately, when I see these things, I am saddened, but it's going to get a lot worse. So be cautious. Pay attention. And here's the thing. Listen to your gut feeling. Now, with people who have anxiety and they overthink it, that's not a gut feeling. A gut feeling is something that's telling you something that came out of the blue that maybe you weren't even thinking. That is a direct message from universe giving you that answer. That's the difference between somebody who just constantly overthinks and overthinks and overthinks. That is not a feeling.
And, you know, you hear people who have terrible things happen to them have a premonition. Yes. I was just on a tour, and apparently John Kennedy, before he was assassinated, just before he was assassinated, was in Arlington and said something, words to the effect, I could live the rest of my life here.
Well, and he did.
Yeah, right.
What do they say? Be careful what you say, yes, or what you wish
even
for.
Even Abraham Lincoln made comments about his demise just days before he was assassinated. So, you know, I guess we could all go back and say that we thought that these things might happen, but you hear these things often enough to kind of believe in it.
I just think that, you know, I have gotten over many years, you know, many premonitions about things, and I've never blown them off. I really just say, okay, I'm paying attention. I do. Every single time I've never listened in my life is when I have been deemed wrong. Seriously. It's crazy, but it just go with your gut. I tell this to people. I even say when little children have a gut feeling, parents need to pay attention to that too.
They might even be better at it because they're not going to overthink anything.
Well, they're more pure.
Mm-hmm.
I always say animals and children are so incredibly pure.
It's like
pure.
That great book Blink, you know, about trusting your gut. And sometimes your gut is really just your brain working really fast, knowing, you know, you see someone walking down the street and you just get this feeling, I don't like that person. Well, there's probably a reason.
Yes.
There's probably a good reason. He or she probably did something just slightly that your brain doesn't even process sometimes, right?
I think it's even more than that. It's a great point that you brought up, but I actually think that it's the soul remembering the feeling, but not the instance. So it could have been coming from another lifetime.
Oh my gosh.
It's deep, right?
It is really deep. Let's go to the phone lines, 981-7200. If you want to talk to Susan Rowland about, you're going to give your birth date and your question. Anne from Aurora, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Birth date is June 5th, and what I'd like to know is I was widowed about 4 years ago, early in my 50s. I am now 60, and I'm just wondering, is marriage another possibility for me? Is something of a long-term, one and only ever going to happen again?
You know what I see, Aurora? I actually see you having a very much significant other. I don't see marriage as much as I see a partner that you're going to share a lot of things with. Do you like to dance? Because I see lots of music with you.
I love the music, but not the dance. Okay, dance like Elaine from Seinfeld, so not really.
But music is really important, and you're going to get out there. And that's really going... I just want to say the music is your zen. So, there's an importance to this, so there's a link to it. And by the way, your husband's coming through, and he is telling me that is the last thing he ever wanted was for you to be alone. He knows that you don't really do well with it.
Do you know he died? Like instantly and suddenly before my eyes. But the night before, ironically, we talked about what would ever happen if one of us died. And he said, well, you have to be with someone because I don't ever want you to be alone.
Oh, my goodness.
So that is, I have goosebumps.
Yeah, so do I. Too. So do I right
just
now.
Got him too.
Wow. Look at this. Ta-da! Oh, my God. Right. I mean, he's right here. And he's telling me, you tell my girl to keep going. He'll always
love you.
He is right there. He is your spirit guide, and he is guiding and protecting you every step of the way.
And please call us back when you found that significant other. And
I hope so.
So Susan can say,
I hope so.
So Susan can say, I told you so. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And blessings to you both. Thank you.
You too, Aurora.
All right. Take care. All right. Let's go to Jan. Hi, Jan in Grays Lake. What is your birth date?
How are you?
And what is your question?
Hi. My birth date is June 1st.
Okay.
And my question is, I'd like to know what my future holds. And my friend did tell me that we're in the end times, and that's why all these killings and shootings at all these mass locations are happening.
I don't think it's the end coming. I will tell you that. It kind of feels like it, but no, I disagree with that. I don't. Let me just put this to rest here, okay? We are under some turbulent times here, but it's for us to take a step back and pay attention to what it is we're doing wrong. We need to be more attentive to people, help people more in a different way. It's going to, as much as we're all these shootings and these killings, it's going to bring us closer together in such a profound way of what we need to experience to get to the other end. Okay? So I do want to say that. Now, with your future, you're a little bit more a woman of creature of habit, and you need to take look outside the box a little bit with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I know a lot of times you get a little afraid, and I get that. I do. But at the same token, you need to step outside your box because you're not going to find anything if you don't start exhibiting and experimenting with some fun things for yourself. Because I find you to be very closed, and I don't want that for you. So, okay. Honestly, you need to do that more. You really do.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Jan. Let's take one more really quick. Now, Tina, you're going to have to be really quick here. Hi, Tina from Naperville. What's your birth date and what is your question for Susan?
Hi. June 15th. And my question is, how does my love life look? Particularly, there's one guy I have my eye on. What do you see?
When's his birthday?
His birthday is February 24th.
Okay. I think he's one big ball of love. Okay, you just have to give him his alone time. And the reason I say that is because if you're too much on him, he's not going to like that. You can't micromanage this man.
Okay.
And don't be so needy with him because I hate to say it, he's going to be needy back. Know your balance with this man because he could take advantage of your emotions because you're so kind and nurturing and giving. So be careful how you break him in.
Okay.
Okay. Have fun with them.
All right. Good luck, Tina. We're going to be continuing to take your calls. Susan Rowland, why don't you give out your contact information? Again, a lot of callers are saying, how can we get in touch with her? So why don't you give out your phone number or your website so people can get
hold of you? Okay. My website would be SusanRowland.com, SusanRowlen. My email is srowlen@hotmail.com.
Great. You're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN. Welcome back. It's The Karen Conti Show. I'm here with Susan Rowland on National Psychics Day, and we're taking your calls. Susan is giving some advice and some predictions, 981-7200. She'll get you right on the phone. You're going to give the birth date and your question. But before we go, and I want to do this quickly because so many people want some advice, I took off a ring that I had on my hand, and I gave it to you. And I guess I'd like to know what your thoughts are about the ring.
Well, number one, it's a beautiful ring, but there is a lot of sediment behind this ring. And it's another woman that's giving this ring. Another woman had this ring. So I see two women, this other woman, and it led to you. And this woman that had this ring, I think she had much jewelry. So I just see it becoming like an auction or of something that her jewelry went somewhere. And this is what I'm getting. And I like this woman because she's very happy that you have this ring because she doesn't want it to go to someone who isn't going to take care of this ring. She wants somebody to love it as much as she did.
Okay. And it's it came from a New Orleans estate jeweler, so it was a pre-owned diamond, and I don't know the origins of it. I assume that a lot of that stuff was bought on auction, and that's very interesting. I would love to know who she was.
I like her. She was a very affluent woman. I see her to have that champagne blonde color hair, and she was very well put together.
Interesting.
So, and it's amazing because a blonde to another blonde. It's very interesting. I just got that just looking at you.
Yeah.
Because you're a very attractive woman too, you know, I see that. And she couldn't be more happy with the respect that you have with this ring. So this is why you keep getting a lot of good energy. Because trust me, her energy is partially on this ring along with yours.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
And it's a happy ring.
It's a happy ring. It's definitely it kind of in a way kind of directed it to go to you because I think she knew if it had to go to someone, let it go to someone that's going to take care of it and treasure it as much as she did when she was alive.
Oh, what a nice thought.
Yes.
I like it even more now.
Oh, good.
All right.
Good.
Let's go to Sheila. Hi, Sheila. Welcome to the Karen Conti Show. What is your birth date and what is your question for Susan?
12/10, and I was wondering about retirement.
Okay, Sheila, do you have like a plan B? I mean, when you retired, you've got plans?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Okay, good. Because that's the only way I'm going to give you the A-OK to do it. Seriously, because you have to stay busy. You're a little firecracker. And I am telling you, you are mentally not ready to just do nothing. You have a lot in you. And I want you to, and here's another thing. You need people around like we need oxygen.
Well, thank you. Okay.
Okay. So please get involved in things. But if you're going to retire and you have a plan B, it's good. Because if you told me you didn't know what you wanted to do, I'd say stay working. But since you know what you're going to do, then go for it.
I think I'm more concerned about when both of us are retiring at the same time.
That's why you still need your own little path of what you want to gravitate to. I'm telling you, it's vitally important. I'm not telling you to work 5 days a week, even if you did two or three times a week. It's very important for you. Okay?
Well, that makes sense. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sheila. Happy retirement. Okay. Christine from Kankakee. Hi, Christine. Welcome to the Karen Conti Show.
Oh, hi. September 21st. And I'm thinking of making a major investment in something, but I don't know if I'm being overly cautious because I'm a Virgo. Or
is this in real estate?
No.
Okay, what is it in? What is it in?
Stock.
Be careful with that.
Okay.
Be careful with that, seriously. My reservations with stocks right now is put it in something that's more of a sure thing. Because if you lose, no, I'm serious. Don't experiment right now. It's not the time to do that.
Okay.
Don't sound a little depressed. I'm warning you on this. I know because you want to do this. So here's my advice to you. I'm not going to tell you not to do it, but here's what I want you to do. Take a little of your money and put it where you want and see what happens.
I'm a Virgo, so I'm going to be overly cautious anyway.
You should, but that's not because you're a Virgo. It's just something that's very unsteady right now. So I'm it is not steady. The stock market right now is up and down, up and down, up and down. Right now, no. Don't do anything risky with an abundance of money.
Okay.
All right, Christine.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good luck with that. Let's go to Rose in Downers Grove. Hi, Rose. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. My birthday is April 25th. And my question, I have a surgery that's scheduled for September. And it was doctor recommended it, and the window is closing on whether it'll even be possible for me to do it if I wait longer. At times, I feel so positive about it, and then at times, I think, maybe I'll be sorry afterwards that it's not going to turn out so good. So I'm asking, how will it come out?
That's a great question. I'm trying to zoom in on your energy right now. I actually think it's going to be better than you think. I do.
I do.
Well, wait a minute. I just want to ask you something. Have you been going back and forth on the fence with this even before what the doctor told you? Because you seem to be...
No.
Wait a minute. Hang on a minute. You seem to have a very high threshold of physical pain. And that's...
I know.
That's what I'm picking up. So here's why I want to say this to you. You don't know your limits and your balances to when the pain is escalating that's really tough. So sometimes when people have high thresholds of pain, such as you, you're going to miss things that could have been fixable. So I don't want you to wait. I want you to go and do this.
Okay. I've been dealing with this 6 years, and he said it's now or never. I can't wait another year.
I know. I'm seeing it, and you have to do it. And you know what? You're going to recover quite nicely. You really will. But pay attention to your threshold of pain. If something keeps going on, open your mouth and say something to the doctor. But it's time for you.
Okay? Thank you for your call, Rose, and good luck with your surgery. Let's go to Marilyn and Rochelle. Welcome to the Karen Conti Show.
Hello. My birth date is November 18th. And I was divorced after 36 years of marriage. And I'm very lonely, and I wonder if you see anything changing there.
Oh, hi, Marilyn. Listen, I'm sorry for the divorce. I am. But here's the thing that I want you to do. I want you to start really paying attention to the divorce and why it happened and kind of making your peace with it.
Mm-hmm.
You have and you haven't. And that's where I think you're getting a little stuck. Well, and you know, it happens to all of us. You know, I put myself in the equation. But what you have to do is look at the divorce of why it happened, and good, bad, whatever, who he was, who you are, make your peace with it so it will allow you to go on and find somebody else with more clarity without the interference of past emotions. This is what's mm-hmm. happening with you.
Okay.
You also are a good networker. You're better when you're busy with people.
Okay.
So get out there again. Seriously. Okay. Because you know what? You're really good at entertaining, meeting people outside, having them at your home. This is something that really works for you, and this puts your mood in a better standing within yourself.
Okay.
But good. Yes.
All right.
All the best.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Shelley in Lindenhurst. We're here with Susan Rowland, who is a psychic medium on National Psychic Day. Shelley, what is your birthday and what is your question?
Hi, my birthday is January 1st.
Ooh, New Year's, baby.
Yeah. How fun is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what's your question?
My question is, I am 54 years old, and I am feeling, I was a teacher, and I'm not sure if I should go back. I would stay at home with my girls, and I'm not sure if that's what I want to finish my career as. So I'm just wondering if you see that happening or something else.
I think it's going to be something else. I'm so sorry to say that. I hope I'm not disappointing you with that answer.
No, actually not.
Okay. The reason I'm saying this to you is because where you were coming from and how you used to be a teacher, things have changed. I don't think you're going to have the mental stamina to convert to the new way of what's going on.
That's exactly why I'm not going back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly.
Yes. So I'm going to tell you, do yourself a favor and a lot of hardship and don't go back. Find something new. You are good at anything you decide to do, anything administrative, anything that you could do that way and running a show that way. That would be great. But don't go back to doing that.
Okay. Can you tell me an area to go to or no?
Anything with administration. Anything in the medical field, you'd be, oh my God, fantastic.
Medical. Love it. That's exactly where I was thinking.
Shelley. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
That was really good.
Okay. You will call us and give us the update. Thank you so much for your call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Let's go to, we're going to get all these calls and follow-ups, right? Hi, Ron in Mount Prospect. What is your birthday and what is your question?
May 31st.
Okay.
And I have a couple of ailing parents, and my mother is very serious, and I'm just trying to see if you can tell me how long the two of them will be together.
Oh, Ron, I'm sorry. I these questions are so hard. I'm so sorry. I see your father alone. Not alone, but, you know, I hate to say it that way, but you're going to have something to deal with your father, okay? Because I see more that he's going to be without. So you're going to have to fill in that big pothole, okay? You have to be really careful. But here's another thing. Your mother's very tired. I don't think she wants to be here anymore.
Well, that's what it's starting to show.
She's really, honestly, you know, it's interesting. Here's what I want to tell the audience today. Anybody that is sick, okay, and really ill, it's not that they don't want to fight to stay. They're coming to a point, and everybody does who's very ill, that they're just tired, and they're looking at it as, I am surrendering, and I am surrendering to universe, let God take me, and it's okay. So basically what's happening with your mother is she's making her peace with God.
I think she's already done that.
She's already
seeing family members, and it's at that point.
Here's what I do want to say really quick. I want to say this to you: when your mother is near the end, tell her you love her and tell her it's okay to let go.
All right.
Okay.
Ron, I'm sorry to hear about your situation.
We're not ready to let go yet, though.
Yeah.
You have to try doing that for her. Okay.
I will.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, that's sad.
Very.
But on a happier note, Susan, thank you so much for joining us. This was fun. We have to do this again.
I would love it. Thank you so much for having me.
We can't wait for another National Psychics Day to do it.
Okay, we'll do it again.
And why don't we give out contact information so everyone can contact you who wants to?
Sure. My website is SusanRowland.com, SusanRowlen. My website email is srowland@hotmail.com.
Thank you so much for joining us. Well, that was fun. Thank you to Susan Rowland, who's the psychic medium, and we got a lot of calls in, and I know a lot of you didn't get to her, but she's certainly available for these kinds of consultations. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. And now is the time that I will answer questions, but my questions are not going to be predicting the future. My questions are going to be legal questions or any other questions you might have. You know, if it pertains to an interesting story that you saw in the news or something that you have always wondered about or something that you're in the middle of right now, I'm happy to take your call. You can give your name and Ben will take your question and make it as succinct as possible and tell me what it is you want and what happened to you and what your legal question is. 981-7200, 312-981-7200, or text to that same number. I'm going to give out my home number. I don't have a home number. I'm going to give out my office number in case someone wants to call me and talk directly to me and not on the air, which is a very common desire. My office phone number is 312-332-7800. That's a good number to have because I don't practice in every area of the in the world. I practice in a kind of narrow area. But I do refer you to people who I trust and I like and I know are very competent and well-priced. So if you have a personal injury case or a workers' compensation case, a criminal matter or something that I don't handle, I'm always able to give you a good person or a couple people maybe in your area who can help you. Again, that phone number, 312-332-7800, or better yet, email me at wgn@askkarenconti.com. I see we have some calls coming in, and please hold on. I did get a call this past week from a woman named Carol, and paraphrasing her question was, she said, "You know, what do I do if I get stopped by the police? Do I do the field sobriety test? Do I do a breathalyzer?" You know, she just was concerned that, you know, maybe if she had a glass of wine and she wasn't sure if she was legally intoxicated, what she should do and how that should work. You know, I can't really give specific advice about these things, but basically, once the police stop you, they're making an assessment as to whether you're intoxicated. Maybe you were driving funny. Maybe something, your blinker was out. But they now smell you, maybe. Maybe they smell the wine on your breath. So now what they're going to do is they're going to try to get evidence. They're not trying to figure out if you're drunk. They're trying to figure out, how can I get evidence to convict this person in a court of law? So by giving the field sobriety test, they're trying to make you fail those so they can prosecute you. And the problem with the field sobriety test, you have no legal obligation to take them whatsoever, and there's no ramification for not taking them. They're very difficult. Some of those where you stand on one leg, or you put your, you know, you backwards, you know, you'd say the alphabet backwards or put your hands on your nose. Some of those things are hard to do stone cold sober. And the results of the test are completely subjective. So the policeman or policewoman, the police person there is going to be saying, yeah, she passed or she didn't pass. And you don't really know why. And it may not necessarily be on videotape. So field sobriety tests, I generally tell people not to do them. As far as the breathalyzer, if you've had nothing to drink at all, there's just no way that you could be intoxicated, I would say take it, because if you don't take it, you lose your driving privileges for a year. And that's because driving is a privilege and not a right. And so if you don't take it, you impliedly consent to submit to the breathalyzer by driving your car. And if you don't do that, it's a violation of you know, code, and you then can lose your license. You will lose your license for a year. But if you're intoxicated and you blow positive, that's going to be very strong evidence that you were intoxicated, and therefore you're probably better off not blowing. You're better off, really, not drinking and driving. You know, with this day and age of Uber, you don't even have to have cabs around. I mean, you can Uber if you've had one drink. You know, Ubering is the way to go. If you look at the cost of what a DUI costs as far as defending it, could be upwards of $5,000. Nobody wants to pay that. It's cheaper to take a $30 Uber ride and maybe have to Uber back to your car the next day than to pay a lawyer and to maybe lose your license for a year. So let's go to the phone lines, 312-981-7200. Hi, Tony in Chicago. Welcome to the Karen Conti Show.
Hi, Karen. I always listen to you. You give great advice, and I want to thank you for it.
Thank you.
I've kind of got a little dilemma here. I'm owner-occupied of a three-unit building on the northwest side. The city, for whatever reason, let a car wash go in right behind my property, which is bordered by residents to north, south, and west. This thing is nothing but a nightmare. The noise levels are starting at 7 a.m., throughout the course of the day are in excess of 80 decibels. We've all gone to the alderman's office who've done nothing. Adding insult to injury, this past week, the owner of the car wash, he's got a hot rod type vehicle. I don't know, what are you thinking of? He slammed into my coach house, causing extensive damage to my coach house.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, it's going to be an insurance thing, but I guess the reason for my call is it's twofold. First, I've got to go after this guy and see if we can maybe quell this, and I hate to say it, the city too. What are your thoughts on something like this?
I have a lawyer friend of mine, acquaintance of mine, who does this kind of work. So you're going to email me tomorrow or tonight, and I can email you back his information. The problem with this kind of case is if you sue, probably what you're going to sue for is a nuisance, because what they've done is they've created a situation where people in your building cannot enjoy their tenancy there or their ownership there. So the other thing is that it's probably diminished the value of your place. I mean, anyone who buys it from you is knowing they're buying it next to a very loud car wash. Suing the city is more difficult because you're going to have to prove some sort of almost intentional conduct, because it's harder to sue the city for negligence. You'd have to have the lawyer look into that, see what the facts are, see if they honored the zoning or if they amended the zoning or did some sort of variance. That's all something that I would just leave that to a lawyer who knows this law. But you certainly have a right to do it. The problem is it gets expensive because lawyers don't take this on a contingent basis. Contingent meaning you're going to pay, you know, contingency work is when you get money, the lawyer gets paid. A case like this, the lawyer is going to want money up front to sue by the hour.
I think that's what the city knows. Every time I've gone to the alderman, they've looked at me and they're like, do whatever you need to do. And I think that they know that too. So.
Wow. And, you know, that's just a shame. So let me do this, Tony. I'm going to hang up now, but tomorrow give me an email at wgn@askkarenconti.com. The guy I'm going to give you, he'll probably tell you what kind of retainer he would need, and maybe he'll ask you some questions and get some more information that might maybe make him think that he could sue the city as well. Okay?
I will be more than happy to email you tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you very much,
Ben. Right.
I appreciate it.
All right. Good luck, Tony. Let's go to Jackie in Roscoe Village. Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Good.
I have my elderly parents have just moved in with us. They are in their 80s. They both have pensions, Social Security, you know, good health insurance kind of thing. A revocable trust is what their assets are in. Are there things that we should be doing since we've combined our household to make sure our estate is going to be okay and their estate is okay to cover if they eventually need to go into nursing or...
you're going to, you know, that's a question. That's a real interesting, good question. I'm glad you're looking ahead at this. There's probably a bunch of things that you're going to want to consult with a lawyer. And you're probably going to want to consult with an estate planning lawyer, but also maybe someone who's got some expertise in the area of elder law. Because now there's some lawyers who are specializing in, I'm using the wrong word, concentrating their practices in that. Because there's maybe some overlap with Social Security issues and estate planning, a lawyer may not know all of those things. So let me think hard. I want you to email me tomorrow about this, and let me give you a few names. Now, are there other siblings, or are you the only sibling?
There's two other siblings who live in the area. Everybody's very supportive. We've kind of had family meetings, so everybody's kind of going in with our eyes open, but we just want to make sure we're kind of proactively looking at things.
Good. And I know, it sounds like things are happy, and I hope they stay happy. I hope, Jackie, that they stay happy. But I know, and I've seen that families like this, for some reason, the one who's taking care of the parents and doing the kind of the heavy lifting on it, sometimes there starts to be disputes between and among the siblings. And, you know, let me just give you one little piece of advice. If your parents maybe have the idea of leaving more to you in the will and trust because you're taking care of them, you have to be very careful to make it, you know, to avoid the idea that you unduly influence them by living with them. You don't want to be taking them to estate lawyers. You don't want to be selecting estate lawyers. They already have a plan. You want to stay out of their business if you can. And if they need to change it, let them try to do it on their own, because if you go there and let's just say they change their will and they change their estate plan to favor you, this could be unwound and there could be a will contest. And I've seen it happen. And again, it sounds like it's happy. I don't want to be doom and gloom, but be careful of things like that. But if you email me tomorrow, WGN@AskKarenConti.com, I will give you a couple of referrals for some people you might want to just, it might be good for a consultation. Just bring in their estate plan, tell them the facts, show them what the pension monies are, what the Social Security is, and make sure that you're on the right track. Okay?
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Jackie. Take care. We're going to be taking more of your legal questions all the way through 9 o'clock. 981-7200, 312-981-7200. Welcome back to the Karen Conti Show. I'm taking your calls, 981-7200. Any legal question you might have. I've got a texter from 630, Steve, I believe his name is. Basically, he said his wife wants to buy a condo. It would make his current 10-minute work commute almost an hour. He doesn't want to do it, and he refuses to agree to do it. He says, I happen to be the more stable employment person of the two of us, but I refused. And what happens if you get divorced? Would you still would this be marital property? Meaning, would it be something that would belong to both of you? So I guess what you're saying, Steve, is that she could qualify for by herself to get it, so you wouldn't have to actually be on the title, on the deed, or on the mortgage, but she would buy it during the marriage. And the question is that something that gets divided up in a divorce? And the answer is yes, because anything that is purchased during the marriage, anything that is acquired during the marriage, is going to be marital property, which means it's subject to division when you get divorced. The exceptions of those things would be if you get an inheritance. So let's say that you've been married for 3 years, your dad dies and leaves you $100,000. You keep it in your name, okay? You never put it into the house. You don't put it into your wife's name, and you keep it. Steve, that would be yours. Then that would be yours upon a divorce. There would be no division of that property. So those types of things do remain. But again, people think like they buy a car and they put it in their name during the marriage, so it's theirs. Well, that's not the way it works, because anything that is purchased with marital funds, meaning monies that were earned by the parties, that is deemed to be a marital asset, despite the fact that it's in one party's name or the other. Hope that answers your question. Let's go to Liz. Hi, Liz. Welcome to the Karen Conti Show.
Hi, what a pleasure to speak with you. You've always been so helpful for so long that for as long as I've been listening to you.
Thank you.
So this is my pleasure, and I'm so happy to speak with you regarding, I guess in general, you could consider it, a do we or do we not hire an attorney for selling a home to an individual that is not documented, is not a legal resident of the country. He currently lives in the home and strictly and pays utilities only, does not pay rent. But what we had verbally agreed to is that he would purchase the home, but in the meantime, just make the home improvements and so on to the property, but with the intent to buy the house. But I'm very concerned with the any liability. Should he have any type of accident, that property's in my name. But again, it's not like he can easily get approved by or get approved for a mortgage. So I guess the question is, how do I proceed? Because I wish for this individual to own the home, but I think just to be on the safe side, I should have some type of contract drawn up. So that's really my question, Ms. Conti.
Okay, and I'm just curious, would he, so with the terms of his buy would be that he would do certain repairs to the home after which he would own it, or would he be paying you in addition to that?
Well, as I see it currently, it's a rent to buy, but he's not really paying rent. He's strictly responsible for utilities because in exchange for rent, he is fixing things up at the home. And this is a complete verbal agreement.
Okay. Well, this should be in writing. This needs to be in writing because if oral contracts are generally enforceable, but when it comes to real estate, they are not enforceable. Anything when it comes to purchasing a home needs to be in writing to be enforceable. So that oral agreement would be worthless. There are also concerns. What happens in the middle of this if, you know, someone came in and said he had and deported him back to where he's from? So then what would his rights be? What would your rights be? You know, how is he going to get permits to do these things? Are they going to be in your name or his name? There's all kinds of issues here that seems to me you need a lawyer to document this. And the question is, how much is a lawyer going to charge you to document this transaction? Because it's a little complicated and there's a lot of what ifs and a lot of untraditional things going on here. So, you know, like what happens if he doesn't do the remodeling the way you wanted it? But I don't. You know, this is something that definitely needs to be papered. So if you want to email me, I can give you the names of some lawyers who I think would be good for this kind of thing. My email address is wgn@askkarenconti.com. It's an interesting question. I hope it works out for both of you. It sounds like it would be a good deal, but because of all the uncertainty here, you're going to need a lot of protection. But I think he's going to need it too. I mean, he may not hire a lawyer, but I think you need to protect yourself in this regard.
Okay? Yeah, he's been living there since April, so I think it's overdue that we document or have our agreement in writing. So, okay, I will certainly email, and thank you so very much. I appreciate your help a lot.
All right, take care. Have a good evening. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be taking more legal calls, 981-7200, 312-981-7200. Welcome back. I'm still taking your legal questions, 981-7200. The phone lines are open, 312-981-7200. I got like a nasty text. 4 killed, 43 wounded in Chicago since Friday evening, yet the press and you say nothing. Oh, but you weren't listening, sir or ma'am, because I did say so, and I not only talked about that, I talked about the Lawndale shooting where there were 7 injured. I talked about El Paso briefly, and I mentioned the Dayton shooting. So if you listen, I did say it, so you can take your anger somewhere else. We have another texter who asked me the question, what do the word, in my legal opinion or knowledge, what does a well-regulated militia mean? What do the two words well-regulated mean? Again, I'm not a scholar on constitutional law, and you know, you can read these things all different ways, and different people have written about them. But basically, the Second Amendment says that a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of the free state, the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed, words to that effect. So in my view, from what I understand, is that a well-regulated militia, it was meant that it would be organized and it would be trained. Because back in those days, militias maybe were not trained, and in order to be an effective militia, meaning that you could in fact take on the federal government, that you wanted that to be an organized, trained military operation that could basically mobilize and do what it needed to do. So that's my understanding of what those words mean, and I'm not sure if scholars would agree with me on that. But thank you for that question. 981-7200, any questions you might have. I had a question last week from a caller who called and said, can I videotape the police? The person had a situation where there was a police officer arresting someone, and this person thought, you know, this doesn't look good. This is, the person's not being treated fairly. I want to videotape it. And the police officer apparently was very angry and kind of went for the camera. And so she said, what are my rights? Well, interestingly, Illinois passed a law several years ago that said people cannot videotape police officers doing their job. That was stricken down by, I believe it was the Illinois Supreme Court. So now, and basically the court said, you have a First Amendment right to videotape police officers. You cannot, however, audiotape them. And I know that most phones, it's an automatic audio tape, but technically that might be a wiretapping issue. Although I don't know if anyone would prosecute you for doing that, but just be careful. And you would only do that in a couple of situations. You would not do that if it's obstructing the police officer's ability to do his job. So you can't get in there and get in between him and whoever he's dealing with and obstruct his job, because not only would that be hugely dangerous for you, it would be illegal. The next thing is that you can't do it in a place that's private. So if the police officer goes into a house, you can't trail into the house and do that. It's not in public place. So if you're in a public place, you're not impeding anyone, you can take a videotape. But I always say to people, if the police officer doesn't want you to do it, you have to make a really good decision here. Do you want to anger the guy with the gun? Or when I say the guy with the gun, I mean the police officer, the woman with the gun. You don't want to anger that person. That person has a hard job to do. That person is probably in the middle of doing something that could be dangerous and is very important. And to have that distraction and to have the police officer not want to do it, you got to really think, is it really worth it for you to do that? And if a police officer does go to try to take your camera phone away, don't resist, because if you resist, that is a crime in and of itself. Whether the policeman was right to do it or not, that would be resisting or obstructing, and you could have a crime. You could be charged with a crime for that very reason alone, even if the police officer was wrong in taking away the phone. So I know some people like to know their rights. Some people want to walk that edge. But again, I always say, when you have a police officer, I mean, tensions are high. If you don't know tensions are high in the city of Chicago, talk to a police officer. Take one of your neighborhood police officers and ask him how he's doing, because these people are under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of crime, given what happened this past weekend. It's 40 people shot this weekend in Chicago. People are on edge, and there's a lot of tension between lay people and the police team. So be careful in asserting your rights, because sometimes those rights being asserted are going to be very, very dangerous. I had a texter named Peter who said that he moved out of his apartment in Chicago about 3 months ago, and the landlord has not given his security deposit back. And he said that he called up the landlord, and the landlord said the carpet was trashed, and I'm not going to give you back your security deposit because the carpet costs more than the security deposit. So the question is, can the landlord withhold the deposit? If in the city of Chicago, if in all the state of Illinois, if the building has more than a certain number of units, and I'm not sure exactly how many it is, but if it's a big building, There is a rule that says that the landlord has 45 days within which to give you your security deposit back. If the landlord wants to deduct money for repairs that were necessary because of your tenancy, he has to give you back your money within 30 days and then deduct the amount of money that's appropriate and attach all of the proof, like receipts and estimates, to show that this was, in fact, something that cost a certain dollar amount to repair. The fact that the landlord here, and I'm assuming it's a big building, it may not be, but if it's a big building and he is bound by those rules, he cannot now, 3 months later, say, oh, the carpet's trashed, and withhold the security deposit. The other thing to know is that when you move in, you should always take pictures to make sure if there's any imperfections in the apartment, like holes in the walls or stains on the carpet or stains on the ceiling, wherever. Make sure you take a picture of that so you can prove that you didn't do that damage. And then when you're leaving your apartment and you broom clean it, because that's usually what you have to do, is to make sure it's clean. You don't have to do a deep clean, but you have to make sure there's no rubbish there or no property there. You should take pictures then as well. And people ask me what kind of repairs can be deducted from your security deposit. It has to be something that's beyond and above ordinary wear and tear. So if it's like holes in the wall from putting up pictures, or you know, dirty carpet, or a little bit of wear and tear on certain things, that is not going to be something compensable. But if it's a stain from an animal, or a crack in a wall, or a broken window, or a broken lock, or something like that, that was something that you did, then that would be something that's compensable. So hope that answered your question. I'm going to give out the numbers again, 981-7200, 312-981-7200. I was talking to some friends this weekend about the Jeff Epstein case, and that is the guy who was charged and convicted of improper conduct with children, and he got a sweetheart deal down in Florida, I believe it was, and now he's being charged again in New York, and he's being charged with child pornography and other improprieties with children. He's this billionaire who supposedly has a list of very famous clientele that he introduced to this kind of conduct, which is horribly offensive. But in any event, Jeff Epstein apparently was found unconscious or almost unconscious in his prison cell in New York. And I was being asked by my friends, what do you think is that, what that's about? I mean, what could that have been? And again, this is all speculation, and we may know this later on. But, you know, the police and the prison guards, whoever are in charge of the prison there in New York, are probably paying close attention to him, because it would seem to me he's a high-profile inmate. You don't want someone trying to kill him there, because maybe someone knows something about, maybe he knows something about a very important person, and there could be a hit on his life. So I'm sure that he's in very close custody there. But the other question is, could he have done this intentionally to try to get moved? Because apparently where he is not a nice place. It's actually a very bad place. Prisons are usually very bad places. This one is a particularly bad one. And so it could be that he tried to maybe fake that in order to get moved. Again, it could be that he tried to take his own life. We don't know. But again, speculating about those things and knowing what I know a little bit about prisons and how things work. That's my two cents. I'm going to be continuing to take your legal questions on any legal topic. Call me. Really, phone lines are wide open. You'll talk to Ben. Anything you want to get off your chest, any question, you don't want to talk about wills and trust, you want to talk about divorce, I like talking about divorce, you want to talk about police conduct, you want to talk about anything, give me a call. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN. It's Karen Conti, and I'm taking your legal questions. We can get them all in here before 9 o'clock. 312-981-7200. 981-7200. If you want to call me at the office and talk privately, 312-332-7800 or WGN at AskKarenConti.com. And also, tune in to Steve Cochran's show on Wednesdays. I'm usually on about 6:40 a.m., and we talk sometimes about people's questions, but we also talk about current events and what's going on in the city from a legal standpoint. Always enjoy that, talking with Steve. Let's go to Heidi. Hi, Heidi. You're in Chicago. You have a question about a child custody case.
Yes, I'm curious about what to anticipate as far as my appeal for child custody. I am wondering if, you know, the probability of them either reversing it or affirming it as opposed to sending it to the Illinois Supreme Court.
Okay, Heidi, can I ask you a couple questions? Are you comfortable answering them?
Sure.
Okay, so what happened? What was the judge's ruling that you are considering appealing?
It dealt with mental health, and my ex paid off a doctor, basically, to say that I am a danger to our daughter, and I suffer from a delusional disorder, which is not the case. Three of my doctors that testified did not find that to be true, and yet he went with the only doctor that said that it was true. She was court appointed.
Okay, so Heidi, at the end of this, what kind of parenting time do you have with your daughter?
I only have supervised visits, thankfully, well, my ex was serving as a supervisor, which is really screwed up. He was psychologically abusive, and I don't feel comfortable with it, but I have no other choice in order to see my daughter at this point.
And obviously you can't have her overnight. It's just for short periods of time.
Absolutely. No, I cannot.
Heidi, I'm sorry to hear this. It sounds like a heartbreaking situation. So without knowing all the facts, without reading the opinion, without seeing the expert witnesses and their testimony, it's really hard for me to say this, but I'm just going to talk generally, Heidi, about, you know, appeals. Generally speaking, judges have great authority, meaning if they make a mistake one way or the other, the appellate court is not going to listen to the whole case all over again and say, all right, I think this judge was wrong. The appellate court is really good at looking at issues like, was there certain evidence that the judge let in that shouldn't have been let in? Did the judge give more weight to something that he or she shouldn't have given weight to? Was there some unfair procedure that happened there that made the trial something that wasn't fair to you and that changed the verdict of the judge? The appellate court is not going to put itself in the place of the judge. So I would really, as much as this is a big issue, this is a big deal, this is your life, this is your daughter, you know, you might want to take this appeal if you can afford it, just because you want to take every opportunity to try to rectify this. If you really believe that this was wrong, and if you have lawyers who are telling you that you have an ability to win this appeal.
I don't have money to pay for a lawyer. I already submitted my brief.
Okay. And it's hard.
I'm just curious about the probability of them determining whether or not, like, reversing or affirming or sending it to the Illinois Supreme Court.
Yeah, they don't get to send it to the Illinois Supreme Court. They're either going to reverse it, they're going to affirm it, or they're going to reverse it and send it back to the trial court for more proceedings. Those are the three options. If you lose, then you can ask the Illinois Supreme Court to take your case, but they don't have to take your case. They only take cases that they wish to take. And I hate to give bad news to you, and I'm sure you're calling me to try to get some, you know, some positive news, but generally speaking, a defendant or a plaintiff or a party who is proceeding pro se, which means by yourself, is very hard to win in the appellate court because there's all kinds of procedures and there's all kinds of things you need to know to make your brief persuasive. And it could be that you didn't do that because you don't have a lawyer. And, you know, it's really unfortunate that you know, you don't have the cash to do that, because this is a very important decision. I wish you the best. I just don't know. I'm not optimistic for your outcome. And I'm sorry to say that. Okay. 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 All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that's a hard one. That's really a hard. You know, our system, you think the system is fair, and it is fair to some extent, but when you don't have money, you are at a huge disadvantage, especially on appeal, because it becomes very academic. It becomes very important to know the rules and to know the case law, and it's just so hard doing that by yourself. Stephen Aurora, welcome to the Karen Conti Show. Do you have a legal question?
Yeah, and another pro se.
Okay.
two things have happening here. My wife had an order, my ex had an order of protection, and during that time frame, we're both pro se in a still dealing with our divorce. And I was requesting her, summonsing her to court, and also summoning her to bring in some different bank statements and things. And I mailed that to her. She took that She took that mail as contact, called the sheriff, and I spent a night in jail. I had multiple lawyers say, well, how are you supposed to get, that's ridiculous. That should not have happened. And I just wondered what your thoughts were on that.
That's interesting. I've never seen that happen. I suppose the better way to have done this would be to ask the Order of Protection Court to allow you, just for the sole purpose of proceeding in this litigation, to send these things to her, okay? But, you know, I can understand why a lawyer may have said you're allowed to send things to her. On the other hand, an Order of Protection is pretty strict and says you can't talk to her, you can't talk to her through third persons, you can't go to her work, you can't mail things, you can't email. So, I think what you need to do, if you're going to either have to go to the judge in the litigation case and say, I have an order of protection, how am I supposed to give her notice of what I'm filing if I can't because there's an order of protection, number one, or you need to go to the Order of Protection Court and file a motion to allow mailings. And maybe you know, there's an arrangement that you can do that.
Okay.
That's my best. You know, you're cut in and out.
There was a limited BOP, and then we went to court, and that got extended to 2 years. And the judge was very adamant about the only way that I could contact her was through a lawyer. So you're saying that I should have to go back to that court and that judge and go before him to request an adjustment?
You know, I can't give you specific advice because there may be things
I don't know here.
But that would be the way to do it. And I'm assuming that she doesn't have a lawyer in the litigation.
She doesn't either. No.
Okay.
Neither one of us do.
Yeah.
She's like golden. How do I get in touch with her?
Yeah.
Without violating.
Well,
when it comes to our court.
Yeah. You
and
can't.
And our court, and the other court case that I'm talking about is something that it's a monetary thing, and it's very important to me. I need the cash, and she owes me the cash.
Okay. And just so you know, that you have to be very careful because you don't want the court and the judges to view you as doing this in order to get to her, you know, because that's what they're going to worry about. So,
that court was pretty adamant that you better not come anywhere near in any way or you're going to be in jail.
Yeah. Well, be very careful because one night in jail is a bad thing, and two nights in jail is worse.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. I've been there before, but with thanks to her. But it was kind of a surprise.
All right, Steve. Well, good luck to you. I'll take care.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
And that's one thing, you know, we have to really pay attention to because orders of protection are really, you know, they're enforced. Sometimes they're not enforced the way I would like to see them enforced, but they mean what they mean. So contact is everything. So even contacting people on Facebook, contacting friends of people can be deemed to be contact. And certainly he's entitled to litigate against her when it comes to financial issues. But I think the court is going to be very protective of someone who has a valid order protection. I am going to, this was a email that I got from Ruth in Aurora. She emailed me last week and said, my husband owes me $30,000 in child support. I just accessed his Facebook postings and see that he is in Austria on a bike trip. What can I do with this information? You know, a lot of people now use social media to get evidence about certain things. I know there's so many people who learn that their spouse is cheating on them from Facebook and from social media, from emails. You don't have to prove that someone's cheating in order to get a divorce, but I think some people have filed for divorce because they found out about things on Facebook. The other thing that you need to know is if you owe money to somebody, you owe money in child support, this is taken pretty seriously by the courts. Not serious enough, in my view, because I think some judges will let people who owe substantial amounts of child support get away with it and not, you know, come down on them and not make them come up with the money faster. Because if you're raising children and you need the money, you need the money. So this goes both ways. I think people that have support obligations have to pay support. They have to pay it timely. If you owe more in support, start paying it back. Keep records of what you're paying. And if you're owed support, likewise, take the person back to court if you can. Ask the state's attorney in your jurisdiction if they can do it for you free of charge. If not, hire a lawyer. And the judge is supposed to award fees, attorney's fees, if you're successful at doing that. But in this case, so you see your ex, he owes you $30,000. You're really mad because there you see him riding his bike in Austria, so it must have cost some money. So in this kind of case, what you would do is if you have a lawyer, you would have the lawyer file what we call a petition for rule to show cause, which means just you want to hold someone in contempt for violating court order, and you want a judgment against him for the $30,000. But if you've already gone through that in this case, maybe what you say to the judge in writing is you attach the copy of the picture and you say, this was taken at a time where he owed me $30,000 and he hasn't paid support in XYZ. And he must have gone to this place and paid, $1,200 to get there. And he probably paid to ride his bike there. And I want to hold him in contempt because he's flaunting this in front of the court. He's flaunting this in front of me, and attach it. And I think judges get angered about that. If a guy can't pay his child support, or a woman can't pay her child support because she lost her job or because she's sick or because she has medical bills or something like that, I think that's certainly something that a judge can be a little sympathetic about. But going on a wealthy man's vacation while he owes support for his children, that's not going to go over very well. So attach it, file the motion, ask the court to hold him in contempt, ask the court to have him produce the records that show how he paid for this. Maybe he's got a secret bank account, maybe he's got a credit card that nobody knows about, and hopefully that will provoke the judge to come down hard and hopefully get your child support paid. Again, my number at the office, in case you want to reach me, is 312-332-7800 or email me at WGN at AskKarenConti.com.